Hi, I'm Arlen Walker, and I'm live from Pelham's Wasteland, and today I have got another episode of the podcast for you guys. Trying to be a little bit quiet because it's still fairly early. It's just before 8 a.m. on Monday, the 4th of July, so that's pretty fun. Happy 4th of July to everybody. I've tried to record something a couple of times recently and have kind of been unable to sort of make it amount to anything, I guess is perhaps the way to put it. Kind of feel each time like I've gotten sort of stuck or not known what to say or what to discuss or things like that. So I'm hoping that this time is better. But it's going to be a little bit of a, not necessarily that different an episode, although I'm going to talk a fair bit about kind of what's been sort of going on with me, a little bit like I do in the journal episodes, but not so much in the sense of like, here's kind of what I have been doing as a sort of here's what I've been kind of, you know, thinking about on a sort of longer term thing and how it sort of is likely to influence the Live from Pelham's Wasteland project as a whole. And then a little bit about kind of some other stuff, some other sort of things that are going on. So anyway, that's kind of what I've got, and let's get into it. All right, so I thought I'd start with sort of the core of what I think has both been kind of what I want to talk about in this episode each time I try to work on it, and what is sort of difficult to talk about, which is essentially my sort of movement away from some of the kind of things that I have been doing previously, specifically the kind of idea being that I am planning on not necessarily taking a break or a hiatus, because that I think sounds like too much of a sort of sharp distinction, and I'm not necessarily picturing it like that. But I guess maybe better to say slowing down with the sort of Live from Pelham's Wasteland project. Not spending as much time on it as I have at previous times, and therefore kind of shifting things a little bit, I guess you might say, from where they certainly have been at other times, and similar in some ways to what has been going on recently. But I guess I think the idea is that I feel like I could just do like I have done at other times and just sort of say, you know, you guys will understand, and then sort of not say anything on the podcast or the YouTube channel about that shift. But I would rather kind of talk about it a little bit as a sort of way to kind of, I guess, broach the subject with you guys on some level and all of that, because I feel like that's important. That's a reasonable thing to do, and reflective of my sort of values on the podcast and the YouTube channel and all that, I guess. Anyway. So the basic idea is that I'm going to, I think, do less. I don't think it's going to affect the podcast quite as much, as it does the YouTube channel. My, for a number of reasons, it's often easier for me to kind of, record for the podcast with a little less planning, a little less kind of, you know, preparation and all of that sort of stuff. And certainly the journal doesn't really have much kind of planning and prep at all. And I intend to continue doing the journal episodes. But the sort of idea being, and in a lot of ways it comes down to time and my kind of sense of, you know, limited amount of time and energy, and especially the idea that, you know, you may have heard the saying, everyone has the same 24 hours. And obviously, I think there's a literal truth to that idea that everybody's day is made up of the same 24 hours, but that there's a way that sort of obscures the sort of real limits of not just of sort of time, but of energy. The idea of kind of, okay, so if you have your 24-hour cycle, you know, what are things that you kind of can't get away from spending time on? You know, in my case, I, you know, basically depend on about 8 hours of sleep in a 24-hour cycle in general. Sometimes there's some flexibility, you know, if I'm feeling particularly manic or depressed, that there's kind of room in either direction. But, you know, 8 hours is a good kind of healthy estimate. But of that sort of remaining 16 hours in the cycle, kind of how many of those hours can you, you know, really focus on things? And the sort of idea being that, you know, even if you may kind of calculate it out as having 16 hours, if you, you know, try to spend, you know, 8 or 10 hours in really kind of intense focused productivity mode, that what will happen generally is either that your intense focused productivity mode will be less intense and focused than it would be if you limited the amount of time, or that if you're able to maintain kind of 110% for 10 hours, that you'll find that the next day it is almost impossible to do anything like that. And that, you know, you haven't really necessarily focused for more time. You've just sort of used up the focus that you would have on Tuesday during the day on Monday, is a sort of concept. And there's a number of kind of things that relate to that. But certainly one of the things that I always sort of come back to is there was a study done, I don't remember if it was during the Vietnam War or after it, that was talking about the idea of soldiers on watch, and basically found that they had been, you know, doing much longer kind of periods of watch, and that actually a soldier, even in the situation of being on watch, that does not seem, you know, certainly not physically arduous, but that the mental tax of trying to be as aware as the military decided basically was necessary for effectively being on watch ended up meaning that a soldier could be on watch basically for 3 hours before losing effectiveness to the degree of not being able to sort of fulfill the role that was intended. At least that's how it was presented to me in the book that I read it in a long time ago. I haven't actually read the study. It was in a secondary source. But the point being there that, you know, 8 hours of sleep, 3 hours of focus, and 13 hours of awake but not necessarily particularly focused, you know, is that the sort of division of time? I don't know if that's necessarily the sort of right division of time or not, but the sort of idea being that as an estimate, what that suggests is that, you know, ought to be careful about how you spend that very limited time resource, right? That rather than thinking, oh, I've got, you know, 16 hours to spend on things, you think, oh, I've got, you know, 3 hours to spend on things, and then 13 hours of sort of, you know, time available that I, you know, can get some stuff done, you know, not completely unproductive, but not nearly the kind of, you know, focused energy that you can get for those 3 hours. And that therefore, in particular, I've been trying to read a lot more. For the month of June, according to Goodreads, I averaged something like 210 or 215 pages a day, which is pretty good. A little over 3 hours at 210 pages in general for me. I generally read a little bit faster than a page a minute. And I think one of my strengths as a reader is that I don't necessarily feel the need to slow down as much as I think a lot of other people do. And I think that's part of why I read the sort of things that I read, that I don't necessarily feel like. I think a lot of other people feel like they, you know, read, you know, trashy, pulpy crime fiction and read at their kind of, you know, top speed, and then try to read, you know, like a piece of philosophy and read at, you know, half that speed. And that I'm, for whatever reason, relatively good at kind of maintaining my speed when reading the philosophical stuff, and therefore kind of don't necessarily feel like I'm, you know, losing out on reading by reading that sort of stuff, if that makes sense. Not that I don't enjoy, I mean, I read lots of different things, read plenty of kind of pulpy trash stuff in June, in addition to the sort of more intense philosophical stuff. But the idea being essentially that I think I'm kind of relatively well suited, for whatever reason, to reading that kind of more dense material. Anyway, but that's sort of a digression. The sort of point being that, you know, that 200, 210 pages is basically my 3 hours for a day, right? That if I want to read with the kind of attention and focus that I feel like the stuff that I am reading deserves, essentially, the sort of sense of not just kind of, you know, passing your eyes over the page, but, you know, focusing on the text, analyzing all of that sort of stuff, kind of thinking about what you're reading beyond just kind of intaking words, that to me means that, okay, well, then that's kind of the sum total of, you know, the kind of high intensity productivity that I have available, and therefore everything else in a given day, or not necessarily everything, but a great deal of other things that I might do in a given day need to be doable in the kind of low productivity but awake time, essentially. And that creates kind of a specific character to the other stuff, right? That not necessarily a bad thing, plenty of things that can be done well enough. You know, a huge chunk of my day job work stuff is not particularly intellectually taxing. You know, it's pretty mindless work, but, you know, needs to get done, and somebody needs to do it. And so I'm, you know, like, okay, well, I'll sit at my desk for 8 hours and, you know, scroll through all the files and, you know, have the two lists and basically just comparing what's in one place and what's in the other, and, you know, when were the files made, and are we all up to date on everything and all that sort of stuff that is, you know, not interesting, certainly, but doesn't, you know, certainly doesn't take that kind of intense focus to solve the problems that arise in doing that work, right? It just takes, you know, sort of enough awareness to say, okay, well, you know, in this source, the file is from a month ago, and in this source, the file is from a year ago. So we need to, you know, update the one from a year ago to the one from a month ago so that we can kind of, you know, all be on the same page, that sort of thing. But the sort of point in there being that I feel like my kind of Life from Pelham's Wasteland stuff, I would like to sort of spend that energy on it, I guess, if that makes sense, in order to create something that is more valuable, I guess. Somehow, I think in particular, it sort of, to me, is reflective of a sense of, like, the value of your time, right? That the difference between, you know, that if I spend more time in kind of preparation and planning, that I will create a much more concise, much more clear presentation of the ideas, and that, you know, it's going to take me more total time to spend the time in planning and then record, but it's going to result in a much better product, that, you know, it's, you know, instead of 2 hours of recording, it might be 2 hours of planning and 30 minutes of recording, which is more total time for me, but that 30 minute result is much better than the 2 hour result because it's, you know, concise and clear and, you know, all of that sort of stuff. And that therefore there's sort of a question of, okay, well, so does that make sense, right? The idea of if I'm talking about, you know, using up my focus time every day on reading, then, you know, what do you do, right? And that's a sort of question. So I don't entirely know what I'm going to do. I don't necessarily have a specific plan that I am moving towards, I guess. Don't have like a, here's what I want the schedule to look like, anything like that. But I do think that the likely effect, certainly on the YouTube channel and probably on the podcast, is less releases, more kind of inconsistency, and more of a sense that I'm gonna record when I am sort of inspired to do so, rather than to try to like keep up with the schedule that I have made, if that makes sense. The sort of idea being that rather than saying, okay, well, you know, I want to record something today so that I can put out something today so that I can put out something in, you know, 3 days later and all of that sort of stuff, that kind of, you know, keeping up with a schedule, that's not really what I want to do, essentially, that I would, you know, rather kind of, you know, continue to do things for the Life from Palms Wasteland project, but to sort of just accept that those things happen when I'm inspired to do them rather than kind of on a schedule, so that I can, you know, use that kind of force of will to stay on schedule for other things in my life, essentially. Yeah, so that's kind of the core of what I have been thinking about recently. And it's kind of a whole interesting thing. I mean, one of the things that happened this past weekend, I did not feel very good. I'm not entirely sure what it is, but I've got a really pretty uncomfortable pain in my neck, kind of right on like the left side of my spine. Kind of, if you imagine the neck as a sort of square prism almost, it's right at the kind of back left corner, that sort of muscle that rises out of the trapezius area, and has been really uncomfortable, and additionally has been I think causing some other pain. In particular, I've been having some pain on my headaches and stuff, and that I think that is at least in part caused by sort of neck pain and the kind of way that, you know, compensating for pain in one area can cause pain in another area, sort of thing. But what it means is I spent a huge chunk of the weekend resting and catching up on sleep, basically, instead of focusing on getting things done, if that makes sense. And, you know, nothing wrong with getting some rest when you need it, certainly. But I didn't read at the rate I was hoping to. And so now I'm, you know, got to sort of decide, do I just sort of let those days slip, or do I try to play catch up on those days as a sort of concept? And the kind of point being, well, if I'm going to play catch up, you know, don't have very much, you know, my already thin margins are even thinner, basically, is sort of the idea. So I don't entirely know what I'm going to do. I would like to at least kind of finish up with the sort of a couple of the things I've been reading and all of that. But the sort of point being, you know, what is there time for? What is there energy for, right? Limited availability of resources. What are you going to spend those resources on in an efficient way? And that therefore, you know, the sort of importance of being aware of those resources, especially, seems to me one of the kind of big points being that when you are unaware of a particular resource, what often happens is that you end up spending that resource without intending to do so. Or at least that's what happens with me, is that I will, feel like, oh, this is just, not necessarily recognize the role of something important, something that turns out to be critical until I've sort of spent it all up and gotten to the point of like, okay, well, now I need to let that particular resource recover. What am I going to do now? Right. And often the result is, okay, well, I guess I'm going to, hang out for a while and try to let things recover and not kind of accomplish the things that I would like to accomplish and that probably would be accomplishable if I was willing to be kind of more aware of needs and resources and all of those factors. And I think that's the sort of ultimate point that I'm getting at, is trying to be aware of my own not just needs, but benefits, right? The idea of opportunity cost being a central element of this, that, as I have talked about before, the idea that, it's not necessarily enough to say that, X thing is fun by itself, but, the comparison that arises of, is this particular thing more fun than what other things I might do, right? I talked about this with regard to evaluating games and the idea of, saying that you have fun playing a particular game is fine. And obviously it's good to have fun, but, the game is not necessarily in competition with, staring at the wall and being bored, right? The game is in competition with all of the other things that you might do during that time, and that therefore, the idea of, well, this game is fun and therefore we should play it, versus this game is more fun than the other games that we might play and therefore we should play it, being an important distinction. And I think a meaningful one when you start to talk about not necessarily kind of evaluating games in the sense of like, which is the objective best game, but especially if for a sort of personal awareness of like, what do I want to, myself spend more time with to fulfill my own desires and needs, right? That's an important level of self-awareness, in my opinion. And sort of what I'm getting at. And in particular, I think one of the big things for me at present is the sense of the way in which a portion of my, a portion of the things that I have done recently and historically are not necessarily the perfect solution, right? And it gets into the idea of the perfect is the enemy of the good, but that for instance, I think about solo play and the way that for me solo playing RPGs is fairly similar to what I get out of creative writing, and the obvious question being, okay, well, does it make more sense to do more solo play or to do more creative writing if they kind of fulfill a similar thing? And, part of the point being that it, both of those take energy and attention and prep time and all of those things that, not necessarily that I couldn't do both of them, but if I was going to do both of them, something else would have to give, right? That, if I want to do creative writing and solo play, then I need, somewhere else to take resources from to fund both of those essentially. And the idea being, okay, well, so, what's the right solution? And that what's the right solution may essentially come down to, going to try to focus on not necessarily the perfect, but the more perfect, I guess, is perhaps the way to put it. Try to emphasize doing those things that are a better fit for what I want to need, and embrace the idea of a level of flexibility with regard to that, to say, you know, I'm going to experiment with some of these things, and if they, it turns out, don't work, happy to, you know, shift into something else, right? Happy to say, you know what, that was an experiment that didn't pan out. But essentially the value of, you know, saying, okay, you know, instead of playing solo play stuff for a while, I'm going to focus on using the time I would use for solo play for deliberate creative writing and kind of see what effect that has, you know, as a concept, essentially. So anyway, that's a lot of what I've been thinking about recently, this kind of question about how to spend my time and how to get the most out of it, I guess. So anyway. All right. I thought that kind of after that discussion of my kind of shift in my work and all that for the Live from Helm's Wasteland thing in general, that I would add a little bit kind of about what I have been doing recently, some of the stuff that has been going on with me. I've been reading a whole lot, as I mentioned earlier, and that's been really good. I've been really feeling like reading a lot has been a major source of kind of energy and positive emotions and all that sort of stuff for me recently. One of those things that I sort of did not realize how much I missed it until I got back into it a little more thoroughly. You know, it's been a whole thing. I don't know. I've been, in particular, one of the kind of interesting things that I've been rereading a fair bit, going back to a number of things that I quite like that I have already read, and enjoying that element too. I think that, you know, especially I think that there are some people who are more interested in the kind of, you know, sense of newness, right? Experiencing something that they have never experienced before. And that I, for whatever reason, am less concerned about that. It's just not something that I find myself, you know, not that I dislike new things, but I, you know, I really enjoy coming back to, especially things that I have, you know, stories that I really liked and that I thought were really good the first time, and kind of seeing them again from a kind of new perspective as the sort of source of newness, almost, right? The idea of the sort of gap between your sort of half-remembered expectations of the thing and the actual sort of reality of the thing. And that's an interesting thing for me, that I really enjoy that element. So it's been nice to kind of go back to some of those things, some of those books that I've quite liked, as well as reading a number of new things, things that I haven't read before, but I've wanted to, and stuff like that. But, you know, so that's been pretty good. Yeah, and I've been playing some video games, actually, which is pretty cool, too. I finished Far Cry Primal, and I thought it was all right. I started playing XCOM, Enemy Unknown, or Enemy Within, with the Enemy Within expansion, again, without the Long War mod, which is funny because I I really like a lot of long war elements, but I thought I would sort of go back to the original vanilla version, essentially. And I've been enjoying that a lot, having a lot of fun with it. It is a lot easier than I remember it being, which I think is, as much as anything, a testament to my, you know, being older and wiser and paying more attention to what the tutorials say to do rather than my, you know, expectations of what ought to be done based on, you know, being like, oh, this is the way it should work, rather than kind of paying attention to the way it does work, I guess. But I've been having a lot of fun with it. I will say I'm reminded of some of the things, some of the reasons that I really like the Long War changes, especially to character abilities. I think that one of the big things that the Long War team did that is really cool is that they basically approached the sort of class elements fairly differently and really focused on front loading a lot of the, especially the active abilities of a class, and that results in the feeling that, you know, in vanilla XCOM, you know, there are certain kind of tiers that become kind of breakpoints, where, like, for instance, the sniper, you know, the sniper by default cannot, most units have two actions. They can move and then shoot, or move and then move, or do an extra far move, a dash. But after they shoot, they end their turn normally. So if you don't move, you just do the one shooting. But that the sniper, the idea is that they cannot normally move and then shoot. They can either shoot and then move, but they can't shoot or overwatch after moving, which is kind of a neat variation. But there's, I don't remember which level it is, the second or third level up maybe, where they get to choose between snapshot and squad sight. And snapshot allows them to move and then shoot with a penalty to their aim. And snapshot is, in my opinion, not very good compared to squad sight, which lets them shoot at any target that an ally can see as long as they have line of sight between the sniper's position and the enemy. And so, you know, certainly there are times when you don't necessarily have full access to, you know, the whole map, but if you can, you know, put your sniper up in the sniper perch essentially and have them just rain down shots on enemies, that's really, really powerful. But the problem is that until you get to that point, the sniper is not necessarily a liability, but one of the weaker units on the team in general. And then as soon as they get squad sight, they become much, much more powerful. And so what Long War does is basically says, hey, you know, squad sight is essentially at the sort of core of what it means to be a sniper. So let's just start snipers with squad sight, right? Have that be the first thing that they get. And then as they kind of advance down the tree, they can get abilities that end up boosting that kind of core ability, but that, you know, start with the core abilities and then kind of spread out from that instead of having some of these kind of core abilities later down the tree, especially because one of the things that XCOM vanilla on harder difficulties is known for is the idea of, you know, if you have a couple of bad battles and lose a couple of high level soldiers, that you might as well just restart. And I think one of the things that the Long War team was trying to do is to say, okay, we're going to sort of build ways for the player to kind of fight their way back from relatively bad encounters, relatively bad fights. You know, if you lose a couple of high-ranking soldiers, that's not necessarily the end, right? That you can sort of keep going in a number of ways. And that's I think it's a really interesting change, and I think it works quite well. But, you know, it's one of those things that I just felt like playing vanilla, and so I have been playing vanilla, and that's been a lot of fun. And it probably will not take too long to finish this campaign, especially because I've been playing on normal, and I probably should have played on classic, to be honest, difficulty-wise, because I'm fairly thoroughly steamrolling most of the challenges in the campaign without necessarily kind of giving it my A game, but that can be fun too. So, you know, and I've watched a couple of movies recently that have been fun, especially kind of this past week, or last week, I guess, hanging out over at my parents' house during the day. And then, often, you know, a number of days ended up kind of hanging out with my dad in the evening, and we would, you know, watch a movie or something. That's been a lot of fun. You know, nice to have some of that family time as well, certainly. Nothing wrong with that by any means. So anyway, so I've been doing pretty well, having fun, getting stuff done. Not feeling so good this past weekend, but I'm hoping that that was just a little bit of kind of overexertion and maybe an element of especially keeping up with a particular medicine for a little too long. The Flonase that I use as part of my anti-allergy routine, I did not remember that one of the things it says is, you know, you can use it for a while, but you don't want to use it, you know, year round, because you can do damage to your sinuses because, I mean, it's a steroid. Long-term use can be not so good. And I'm wondering if that might have something to do with it also, the, you know, overuse of that particular medicine, and that, therefore you need to take a break from it. And hopefully the kind of particularly bad allergy season has passed by now. Seems like that's normally what happens, and that therefore I can kind of, you know, let my body recover from all of that. So anyway, but yeah, I'm doing well, hanging out, getting a lot of stuff done, reading lots and lots, and generally having lots of fun. So anyway, hope that you all have enjoyed this episode. If you have any comments, questions, concerns, anything like that, you can, you know, leave a voice message and I will play it. You can get a hold of me on Discord, or you can email me at pelhamswasteland@gmail.com, or any number of ways to get a hold of me. I hope that everyone is doing well, staying safe, staying healthy, having lots and lots of fun gaming, or whatever else it is that you are enjoying at present, because, you know, nothing wrong with those sorts of fun things that you might do beyond gaming. But yeah, I've been Arlen Walker. I've been live from Pelham's Wasteland, and I will see you next time. Take care, everybody.